Good to be back. Okay. So for those who recall, although we did not meet last month, we are in a series this year thinking about character traits, midos. And tonight's mida is a mida which, on the one hand, is very Yiddish, it's very Jewish. On the other hand, at least at first glance, maybe you don't associate it so much with, you know, the typical Jewish mida. And that is, as you saw, the mida of courage, which in Hebrew could probably be translated as the word ometz, like chazak ve'ematz, or could be translated as the word gvura, like ozer Yisrael begvura. Now this mida, the mida of courage, is a very powerful mida, and I would say it's an essential mida. If a person lacks courage, then they're gonna have a very hard time. They're going to have a very hard time across many different arena, as we'll talk about. But what we need to realize is that being children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, being descendants of generations of Jews, we have an innate reservoir of courage. And that sometimes we just need to dig deep to reach that, but to realize that we have courage within us. So one place to start to think about this is, how do you define courage? So the Webster Dictionary, which, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to have one, you just go online, you can get the Webster Dictionary, is that the definition of courage is the ability to do something you know is difficult or dangerous. The ability to do something which is difficult or dangerous. So what does that mean? That means that there is a measure of risk involved. What are some examples that come to your mind of this mita, of the ability to do something that, even though it's difficult or dangerous, a person's going to have the courage, muster up the courage to accomplish that goal? Where do we find this?
Nachshon.
Okay, right? Nachshon Ben Aminadav. There's an article on courage by Rabbi Dr. Nathan Lopez Cardozo, who uses Nachshon Ben Aminadav as his prototypical man of courage. Because here he is looking at a sea, and he just jumps right in there, even though it's both difficult and dangerous. Okay, that's one example of courage. Where else do we find?
Noah.
What exactly? What makes Noah courageous?
He's listening to God, he's building a table, and he's going to... Middle of the day, when everybody,
can you imagine, exactly, what, you know, there was a skit from a comedian who you can't reference anymore, but there was a famous skit from this comedian explaining and bringing to life what that conversation must have been like. An ark, right? That mida is going to be even more apparent in Avram Avinu. What is Avram referred to as? Avraham ha-Ivri. What does it mean he was Ivri? So one opinion of the Medrash is, Kol ha-Olam, everybody in the world was on one side, be'Aver Echad, Aver means a side, and he was on the other side. My Rebbe Rav Staff once gave such a great mashal about this. He is a tremendous Baal Mazber of Mishalom. So he gave us a great mashal, and I'll apply it to Chicago, because he didn't use the Chicago reference. But imagine, you know, imagine I was coming from my house in Skokie here to Lincolnwood, and I remembered that, I forget the address, 6541. 6541. So I remember that the address is 6541. I wrote it down on a piece of paper that had 6541. But then, because I don't trust myself, I brought the Achenu. So here I am in the Achenu, remembering it's 6541. I know what the house exactly looks like. I've stayed here. I've eaten here. I've learned here. I know exactly what the house looks like. I know where I'm going. Then I have the Achenu as the backup. As I'm driving down, imagine it weren't snowing tonight, so there were people, although there are Mishalachim outside, so I could ask them. I could ask them. And every person you say, I'm going to the Gordons, they say, oh, they live on Monticello. So I would say, it can't be. I know they live on Central Park. And the Gottesmans live on Monticello. I know what's going over here. But no, after, what would you think after like the 10th person?
Different Gordon.
Right? Maybe different Gordon? Or,
sorry,
yes! Right? After 10 people, if I bump into Michael and Lisa and they're walking down and Lisa says, you know they're on Monticello now, I'd be like, maybe they moved. Maybe I forgot. Maybe I never knew it in the first place. Avraham Avinu bumped into every guy on the street. Even if God spoke to you, when every person on the street tells you, oh, we believe in polytheism, there's just a bunch of gods spieling, fighting with each other, at a certain point you start to wonder. Avraham Avri meant the courage to do something difficult and stand up to others and say, no, no, what I believe in is the Emes. So, what's that?
Paro was pretty courageous then.
Well, right. So I would say Paro definitely had some courage, although the question is, was he courageous or was he a combination of arrogant to the point of foolhardiness? Now, there are a lot of people who, to cling to power, will do crazy, dumb things. That's one element. Or it could be that the Ribbono Shel Olam Vayechazak Hashem Leiv Paro, and therefore it actually wasn't his choice. He had to stand up to them. It's an interesting question. You know, does Paro exhibit courage? Does he do something difficult?
Well, if we believed in his end goal, we would think it was more courageous than
doing. Right. So we have this ability to be courageous within us. And this ability reflects itself in different aspects of our lives. So one way of thinking about this, if someone were to say to you, Ezehu Gibor, who's characterized by Gevura? What would you say?
Is that Yitzchak?
Okay, Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak is referred to, according to the tradition, as the personification of Gevura, following, by the way, a woman who is referred to as Gevirta, that was Sarah. Ezehu Gibor was the Mishnah saying Perkei Avos. Ezehu Gibor. That's right, HaKovish is Yitzro. So this is one aspect of Gevura which is important, which is conquering and doing the difficult internal work, right? Because we say HaKovish is Yisro, well, what does that have to do with courage or being able to do something dangerous? It's not really dangerous, it's more difficult. What makes it difficult is because we are sometimes hardwired. I don't know, hardwired is the right word, or we have a proclivity or a tendency towards something. We have a base motivation or drive for A. Usually in our world, because we're a composite of a guf and a neshama, a physical entity and an intellect, so the physical entity is drawing us to something, and then our seichel is saying, stop, stop, you know, calories, cholesterol, heart attack, you know, your spirit, whatever it is. So to say stop to the kvisha sayetzer, that's number one. Rav Kook develops this idea in his commentary. You know, I think it was his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, put together Rav Kook's commentary on the Siddur as like a compendium. So there are essays in the beginning, and then according to the, so what bracha do we say every day? Ozer Yisrael Begvura. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a little dose of courage to be able to say, you know what? Even though my desire, I don't know what the right psychological term is, whatever that term is, for that drive that's telling me to do that thing that I should not do, that immediate gratification or that jealousy or that selfishness or whatever it is that's telling me to do that thing, my seichel is telling me not to do that. And the Rebbe Shlom gave us this gift, Ozer Yisrael Begvura. He gave us the gift to be able to say, you know, hold on for a second. I'm going to use my cold part of my brain to chill out a little bit the hot part of me that's telling me bad advice. So that's the Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, which relates to the Kavisha Sayetzer, right? That's one element. But there is a, I think there is another level, in addition to the Kovisha Yitzro, which is important for us to think about. And maybe we can think about it on the outside and then on the inside. So Kavisha Sayetzer is about the inside in terms of those little energies that are struggling within us, telling us to do the right thing or not to do the right thing, our seichel versus our guf. And then there's the outside question. You know, people who are faced to make courageous decisions in leadership. What did the Rebbe Shalom tell Yehoshua? Moshe Rabbeinu told him. He says, tell Yehoshua, chazak ve'ematz. Chazak means
be strong.
Ematz means
brave, courageous.
That's right, be courageous. Because leadership requires strength and courage. Who teaches us this in an unfortunate way? Well, think of a leader who was, according to the Tanakh, described as Mishichvo Umayla. Literally, that's head and shoulders above everybody else, and is anointed as the first monarch, the first Mashiach Hashem. And yet, after he's given a command, an unequivocal command to destroy Amalek, he comes to Shmuel and says, I don't know. You know, you can just picture the scene. This is going like this. You know, those of us who've seen children in this certain state of affairs, they have a certain look, right? It's that sheepish, guilty, pathetic look. Like, well, you know, then they start the negotiating, which is the story of Shaul HaMelech. He says, you know, we have sheep for sacrifices, and I listen to the people. And all this time, you just imagine Shmuel HaNavi's just going like this. He's just like this. What does he say to him? Im katon ata be'inecha, if you think you're small, you're missing the boat. Ro shifta Yisrael ata, you are the king, you're the head of all the tribes. So what are you walking around like this? I can't. He says, what are you talking about? Being a leader requires doing the difficult thing to stand up to people. And by the way, from the story, it's not even so clear that they actually demanded it. You know, that part maybe have been just a put on. But what Shmuel is saying, I think, is to him is, you got to stand up. You have to have a backbone. To be a leader means chazak ve'ematz. It's not just enough to be strong. It means you can't wither when people say to you, oh, well, you know, I really like this, I really like that. That's an element of courage. So there is the inside courage that we have struggling with our own Yetzer, and then there's the outside courage in terms of leadership, doing the right thing among your peers. Right? How difficult is that? You know? That's also an element of courage. This idea of the inside and the outside, I think you could probably smush it together, actually, in a sandwich, in halachic courage. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik has an essay, and it's a very, very strong, very intense essay. It's called Catharsis. And here he talks about how sometimes the halacha can be very forgiving and very nurturing and warm and beautiful, and we're baking hamantaschen and everybody's happy and it's nice. And then he says that the halacha can be demanding. He says, and maybe even some of you know people like this, he says the halacha can demand things that are almost superhuman. Now, this next description that the Rav gives is very likely autobiographical, because anybody know when was the Rav's wife Nifteris?
Before Yom Tov.
That's right, right before Purim. She died on Tanis Esther. Mm-hmm. So in the essay, the Rav describes a theoretical construct, but it's probably not theoretical. It's probably his own personal experience of how a person, lo aleinu, could lose a close relative on an erev yontif. Imagine, I know someone whose mother passed away. The kavur was in the morning on erev Pesach. So that meant that their shiva was like 7.5 minutes long. And then they have to sit down to the Seder. V'samachta b'chagecha. The Rav says they just came face to face with the most monstrous calamity they could ever imagine. And now, Simchas Yantif. He says, it's impossible, yet people do that. Is there anything more courageous than that? It takes tremendous, tremendous courage. It's amazing. He talks about it. Again, this is part internal, part external. It's internal in terms of how we control our emotions, and it's external of going through the motions. He talks about, he uses Hilchos Nida as an example, where you have a couple, and they've been dating for a long time, and they finally get married, but the wife, all of a sudden, she sees one drop. She says, we have to wait. And no one's there, no one's looking, no one's supervising. Tremendous courage. He talks about it from an intellectual realm, and we start to think about how, you know what, when we peel back the layers, we realize courage is everywhere. Of course it's a Yiddish value. Of course it's a Torah value. That's part of what enables us to be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's one thing to be chazatz, it's another thing to be amatz. To be courageous, to withstand and do things when it's difficult. Internally, but also externally, through our halachic life. And then, I think you could even take it beyond, like in the future. Because now we're saying that when we go through the present, when we go through our life, we're always drawing on our courage. The Rebbe Shlom endowed us with courage, so we draw on it internally, Yaakovish Yitzro, and then to deal with the situations that we have. But I wonder if it's also true, maybe you could think about it, I don't know if this is the right way to frame it, but the idea of courage as it relates to ambition. What do I mean by that? The Rambam has a line in the Mor Nevuchim where he says, and I suspect from a psychological perspective, there are probably lo aleinu or some people like this. He says that if a person was overcome with fear, they would never get out of bed in the morning. Because they would always be paralyzed by the fear that, you know, the kitchen chandelier is going to fall on their head, and a car is going to jump the sidewalk and hit them when they're getting to their, you know, passenger door, and that at the red light, a bolt of lightning is going to come back. I assume that this is a...
Well, that's a little extreme, but yes.
Right?
Anxiety disorder. Sure. It's all that.
So the Rambam says if a person was so gripped by fear, they couldn't get out of bed. They couldn't accomplish anything. So how do we overcome that? So obviously, the Rebbe Shalom gives us a gift of being able to suppress some of those fears. If I drove here and every 10 seconds I was paralyzed by fear, so then I wouldn't have gotten in the car, I wouldn't have come. But there's another element, which perhaps is that the fact that we have this midah of courage, that helps us battle against the fear. Because the fear would hold us back from accomplishing great things. Rav Kook has a collection of small essays in this skinny volume. This volume is called Eder HaYakar. Eder is like the word Aderis. Aderis was Rav Kook's father-in-law, his second wife's father, Rav Elio David Teumim Rabinitz. So it's a skinny volume after his father died, a collection of letters and a tribute to his father-in-law. It's a very beautiful section. And then in the back, he has a tiny little section called Ikve Hatzon, Kvutzas Ma'amarim, small monographs. In here is one of the most powerful monographs that Rav Kook wrote about his generation, about the generation of the turn of the 20th century, which is fascinating. But behind that, which is not so well known, it's a good thing you came tonight because maybe you wouldn't have heard of this. He has a tiny little monograph called Hapachad, fear. And he doesn't say it exactly like this, but you know, Rav Kook says, you know what we need to fear? That's right. Exactly. He says, you know, there's a very big pachad. That pachad, which is nifraz, which is exaggerated, he says, it takes away the light of our life. It takes away our ability to be creative, to dream, to accomplish. Why? Because the fear of this might be too difficult, it might be dangerous, it inhibits us from making strides. Rav Kook calls this the one of the most dangerous, what he calls pachad hamachshavi, is one of the most dangerous ailments that can afflict a person in their state of mind, being afraid, not having courage to say, you know what, I need to try that. I need to advance for that. And he talks about it in a general sense, and even talks about it, and this is, I would say, you can understand why this statement is quite controversial. He talks about it in a spiritual sense, in that, on the one hand, he says, nobody can have Ruach HaKodesh if they're struggling with pachad, with fear, because Ruach HaKodesh only comes when you feel contentment and happiness. Mm-hmm. But more than that, he says, rabbis, chacham, and people who are super spiritual, they are at risk of being exceedingly fearful because they want to be very conservative to maintain the Masorah, the tradition, the original light. But he says that comes with the potential for excessive fear. People who are so afraid, they're not willing to listen to questions that new people are asking. It's a spiritual fear that creates spiritual paralysis, which is quite a controversial statement. But he says, this is part of the problem when you live in the ikvasa de Mashiach, when you're living in the time of before the Mashiach, and the Gemara says, chutz b'yaske. So there are so many crazy things going in the world, so many trends that are destructive beyond measure that nobody could have ever imagined. So what do some people do? Because they're so afraid of everything that's going on in the world, which is a legit fear, they become exceedingly afraid. They become overly conservative. And Rav Kook says, I understand where that's coming from, because they're afraid of the outside, of the ikvasa de Mashiach, but at the same time, we can't live lives of fear, because fear inhibits growth. If you don't move forward, right, if you don't have that willingness to take a risk, you'll never move forward. That's what the Rambam was saying in the Morning Vuchim. If you were always afraid to get out of bed, you'll never go anywhere. So Rav Kook is saying is that a pachad is a maka of paralysis. We have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, and in this sense, he gives us the gvura to conquer the pachad and move forward and innovate and create and explore. It doesn't mean there's no pachad. Ashrei Adam HaPachad Tamid, it says in the Tehillim. But what he calls HaPachad HaNifraz, excessive pachad. So if you accept this, maybe this is a new pshat, Ken Zayin, or it's totally wrong, I'll decide. Maybe this is a new pshat in what we call Ezehu Gibor HaKovish Yisitzro. What is the Yitzhara? I don't know, I never met the Yitzhara. But, you know, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, so he has what he calls his obsession. Dr. Twersky says that he has a one-track mind. He's written almost 80 books. And I once heard him say, well, at that time, when he said this, he had only written 60 books. But we'll go with the 60. He said, all 60 books that I wrote, they all say the same shtickle Torah. What's that? He says that the definition of Yetzer Hara is a lack of self-esteem. That's what he says. Yetzer Hara is synonymous with no self-esteem. So now, maybe this is a new definition of Eizug Yibarakovish Yitzro. If a person's Yetzer is defined as the voice inside of them that tells them, no, you can't. So Gvura, courage, the Yetzer Tov, is the capacity to say, I can. Or at least I can try. The Yetzer Hara says, it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. Don't do that. You can't do it. It's too difficult or it's too dangerous. You want to, you know, people, it's very popular lately. You want to start Nach Yomi? Oh, it's too difficult. You can't do Nach Yomi. You can't. Too difficult. Can't do it. You want to start learning two halachas of Shmiras Halosh in a day? You want to start Daf Yomi? These things have been, and they should be, with the onset of the new Daf Yomi cycle, a lot of people are talking about these things. The idea of learning something every day, which is so powerful. And if you haven't taken it on yet, you should think about it. What can you learn every day that's going to be tiny, 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 but in 5 years will have a huge cumulative effect? There's someone who I know, and we had a discussion about this in one of our shiurim. So he has a grown child who lives in a different place. They started learning one Mishnah a day. One Mishnah a day, that's it. And you know what? In a year, they'll have finished over 300 Mishnahs. Amazing. But you know what the Yitzhar says? Yitzhar says, you can't. It's synonymous with the you cannot do it. You can't. You don't have the time. You don't have the background. You didn't go to yeshiva. You didn't go to day school. You don't have an art scroll. Every story in the book, that's the Yetzer Hara. It's that low self-esteem that tells me, I can't, I'm not worthy of that. It's not on my level. Now, you're right. Rav Kook does talk about, in Oras HaTshuva, the challenge and the caution that we should have of being medaleg. What does lidaleg mean? Yeah, to skip. So let's say there are stairs. If you jump too many steps at one time, where are you going to end up? Flat on your face. So you're right. If you have no yeshiva education and you work 18-hour shifts a day, I wouldn't recommend doing 5 blad of Gemara a day. Not a great Eitzah. Although, you know, Rav Asher Weiss, someone asked him when he was recently here for the Siyum HaShas, someone told me that someone asked him, how is it possible he makes the Siyum HaShas every year on Simchas Torah and he alternates Bavli Yerushalmi depending on the year? He said, how do you have time? He says, I don't have so much time to learn during the week, but if you learn 50 blad on Shabbos, so then you can make it work. All right. If it works for you, it works for you. You can't be medaleg if that's not where you're holding. If you're not holding my 50 blad on Shabbos, okay. But the little step? So the Yetzer Hara says, you can't. Who are you to do that? Right? They start making all the excuses. You're not worthy, and you said Lashon Hara yesterday. And you know how much Bittul Torah you had already. That's the Yetzer Hara. Where did this come from? Where is this Yetzer Hara coming from? Who's the first Yetzer Hara that you ever meet in Tanakh? Yes, the Nachash. What does the Nachash refer to? Let's say, Hu Yeshuv Charosh Va'ata Teshuvenu Akev. Similarly, in the Berachas Yaakov, in Parshas Vayechi, the Nachash, Shvifon Ale Orech, he comes around the back and he bites you. What does it mean that he bites you? What does it mean that the Nachash bit Adam and Chava? What is that imagery? When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, it was a bad move. We can agree on that. But many Mefarshim, many Balei Musar point out that it wasn't that he ate from the Eitz Hadas that was the problem. It's that the Nachash told him afterwards, you see, you're finished. So he didn't even try. It was only till he met Cain that Cain says to him, well, I did tshuva. Adam Rishon says, I didn't even think of that. What do you mean you didn't think of that? Why didn't Adam Rishon turn to the Baal Shem and say, I'm sorry? Because that is what there's a beautiful sefer that I have at home called Oshin Mimetzulos from Rav Yaakov Shapira from, I think his name is Yaakov, from Yeshiva High School in Ramat Gan. He has a whole book about this. He says that the Eres of Nachash is not to get you to make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. Ain't sadik arutz asher yasev tov le'yachta. The eras of the nachash is after you make the mistake. To say, you know what? You're worthless. You are farfallen. Don't bother. That's the poison of the nachash. That's what he means. He comes from the back. He bites you at the ankle. That's the eras, the poison of the nachash. That's the yetzer. So what does it mean to be kovish the yetzer? Yes, we said before, the simple pshat, the yetzer is your yetzer hara of kufanius. That's Rav Kook writes in the Siddur. I'm sure that's emes lamito. But now what we're saying is that the kvisha is the ability to believe in ourselves. We made a mistake. Salam shaneh. To tell the yetzer hara that we can. That itself is the high level of gvura. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. The Yetzer Hara says you should be afraid. What are you afraid of? The Yetzer Hara says you're afraid of your own shadow, of your own past. You're afraid to move forward. It's like like the Rambam says, but on a spiritual level, you're spiritually afraid to get out of bed. You're afraid to try that new limud. You're afraid to take on that minug. You're afraid to face that, to fix that relationship. So the Mida of Gvura says, you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. You have to be courageous to do the things that are difficult and dangerous. That is the Mida. And you could argue that it's maybe for some people it's easier. You know, the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three servants of Nebuchadnezzar, they chucked them into the fiery furnace. So that took a lot of Gvura to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Some might argue it's, and maybe you have to speak to a therapist or a psychologist, for some people it's probably easier to be thrown into a furnace than to try to convince themselves that they should believe in themselves, that they should conquer their inner voice that says you can't. Right? That is a koach that is so insipid in the Yetzer. And that's maybe why, and we'll end with this, there is a special encouragement that we are given in dealing with our Yetzer Hara. There is a special Kohen who has a quasi-status of a Kohen Gadol. He's not exactly a Kohen Gadol, but he's not exactly a Kohen Hedyot. He's called Kohen Mashuach Melchama. What's the Kohen Mashuach Melchama's job?
To get the troops ready.
Right, so what does he tell them? What does he tell them? He tells them,
if you're not ready to go home.
Exactly. And therefore he tells them, the upshot is, don't be afraid. And Rashi gives you all the things. He says, don't be afraid of their clattering sounds, and don't be afraid of the horses, and don't be afraid. So what's the pshat? So if you look in many Svarim, like in the Nesiva Shalom, other Chassidish Svarim, on that parasha in Kiseitze, they say that the Kiseitze is talking about the Melchama with the Yetzer Hara. So what is the Mashuach Melchama telling you? The Mashuach Melchama is telling you, Ezo Gibor, you're going to be a warrior in battle. Hakovish is Yitzro. According to Dr. Tversky, the Yetzer Hara that says to you, you're an Oisvar, if you're not worthy to take on this mitzvah, you're not worthy to have that kavana, you're not. The Kohen Mashuach Melchama in the Melchama Sayetzer says, don't be afraid. Chazak ve'ematz. Chazak ve'ematz. You're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're the children of Avram, Ivri. You know, I'm sure many people probably doubted Avram Avinu. They said to him, "Nu, where did you grow up? Where did you meet Sarah?" Shechtos used to say, the Pasuk doesn't say where he met Sarah. So they were both Balei Tshuva, so they probably met at a New Year's party. That's what he says. They probably met at a New Year's ball. You know? Times Square. Then they became Balei Tshuva. So I'm sure probably people said to him, Avraham Avinu, who are you to try to seek out the Ribono Shel Olam? But he says, you can't listen to that Yetzer Hara. You can't. The DNA of a Jewish person is this Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, that we have the courage to say, I can. The courage to say, I can get out of bed from a spiritual standpoint and accomplish. And so what I wanted to think about tonight was this, in summary, that the idea of courage and gevura and ometz, it's internal in the traditional sense that it's Kovish the Yetzer, the traditional Yetzirah of Chomrius. It's external in the sense that when it comes to leadership and in society and standing up for what's right. It's true in a sandwich way when it comes to halacha, which requires internal courage to do what's called upon us by the halacha and to express that. But maybe if we define the Yetzer Hara as the voice in us that tells us that we can't, then the courage, the Mashiach Melchama, is telling us that we can. And that what sometimes is difficult is to believe in ourselves. That's where we need to draw upon our courage. And the good news is that each one of us has that. We say that bracha every single day. Ozer Yisrael Begvura. Sometimes we need to look for role models of people who did that. Whether they're in our own family, or in history books, or in the neighborhood of people who we know who had the courage to accomplish, irrespective of what was difficult or dangerous. And that is an important koach. It's an important value for us as Torah Jews to keep growing, to have the courage to keep growing under any circumstances. So now you have to have the courage to break the mold and to finish all the dessert, not to be afraid. We gotta finish it.
Take a piece.
Okay, you don't have to finish it. All right.